Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you happy? Blessed be his name. Thank you, musicians. Did you bring your parkas? We got air conditioning. Hallelujah. Let there be air conditioning. Okay. Wish it was that easy. Let there be air conditioning and about $8,000. Okay. All right. It was fast though, wasn't it? Thank the Lord for that. The body work part 38. I heard a prayer request go forth for Sister Christina and Sister Baker. Is that right? Brother Joe, what about us? Who's praying for us? I'll bring the frijoles. You got the tortillas? Got cereal. All right. Well, there's almost a day's worth of food there. All right. There's always Dunkin' Donuts. Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. You know, I used to laugh at my father-in-law. You know, you just be careful what you laugh at. Life has a way of paying you back. But I used to laugh. I mean, I didn't laugh at him, but I chuckled because I thought it was funny that he didn't know where things were at in the kitchen and you know, didn't know how to make coffee in his own house. And well, life has a way of paying you back. Of course, I might know where things are at in our kitchen if they just stayed where they were at. Guess that's a woman's prerogative, right? Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shineth forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at his feet, at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the words. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are grateful once again that we've have the opportunity to come together, Lord, to feed upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Lord, we don't believe that this word has lost any power. In fact, Lord, it's just waiting for in due season to come forth, Lord, a living word, not some kind of a just a story or some kind of a historical account, but living word. And Father, we feed upon that, and it brings forth life. Father, it brings forth immunity from diseases. It brings forth protection. It brings forth comfort, wisdom, peace, whatever it is that we have need of. We know that it's all contained within your word. So we ask that you'd speak to us in this midweek service, Lord, that you give strength to each and every one. Lord, no doubt that people have worked hard, Lord. They've had a long day, maybe, Lord, facing the heat and different circumstances, and they've made the effort to be here on this midweek service, and some maybe didn't have a chance to eat. But Lord, here they are, ready to feast upon the spiritual word that you have prepared. I just pray that you bless each and every one, Lord. And we give you the praise and honor and glory now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Moses is fixing to go home, be promoted, if you will. It's going home time, and I'm sure it's bittersweet. On the one hand, he's about to be gathered together with his loved ones and has reunited with his brother, his sister. So not only those that he is spiritually related to, but those that he's physically related to. And, you know, he's going to shake hands with Adam and Father Abraham and different ones, and you know, no doubt he's thrilled about that, and his labors are about over. But I'm sure that there's a little bit of remorse at the same time that he's not being allowed to finish the work. And he knows without a shadow of a doubt that it was things that he did that disqualified him from finishing this work. God's work will be finished, but Moses won't be the one that God uses to do it. Has nothing to do with his salvation, has nothing to do with his election, but it has everything to do with what happens to us in this life. So Moses obviously can't go back and undo what he did when he disobeyed the Lord, and out of anger he smote the rock and brought glory to himself instead of doing what the Lord had told him to do. And because of that, he's not going to cross over with Israel. He's not going to lead the way. God's raising up another generation, other men, faithful men that'll take that word and go forward with it. And because of that, he's not going to cross over with Israel. But he's been allowed to pronounce a blessing over Israel, and that's a tremendous thing. And he shares with us, as we went over this last Sunday night, we're not going to go over it again tonight, but he shares with us some of the things that he's never spoke out before, just as a prophet in our day shared a lot of things with us that were just real gems and nuggets that weren't shared prior. And he wants the people to know that the blessing that's going to be pronounced upon the people, it's not something that's coming from Moses. Moses is the microphone. He's the mouthpiece. The blessing comes from God. So this isn't Moses saying, you know, I'm going to reward so-and-so, and I've always had it in for you, and I never liked that, and I never forgot this. Yeah, Moses has nothing to do with it. Moses doesn't have a dog in the fight. Moses is a yielded vessel, surrendered to the Lord, and he's walking and being faithful clear to the end. And so he lets them know that it's God that brought them into the law, not Moses, and that it's God that's bringing them into the blessing that's going to be pronounced, not Moses, and it's God that's taking them into the land, and not Moses. And, you know, when it comes to the blessings that are going to be pronounced over Israel, it might not be what they want to hear, because the blessings that are going to be pronounced upon them at this point in time are based upon obedience. And there are blessings that comes to us based on who we belong to. Yeah, because I belong to Christ, there are blessings that come with that. Blessings of healing, blessings of deliverance and peace and joy and being able to receive this word and to have a part. But that comes from because of who I'm related to, because of who I'm connected to. The blessings of Jacob and the blessings of Moses, they come to the people, but it isn't coming from Moses, but it's coming from God. And these blessings that are being pronounced are based upon behavior. Oh, don't get quiet on me. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. We went through this on Sunday night. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. So as we touched upon this on Wednesday night, the symbolism here is of the sun rising, coming from the east and heading towards the west. And what it's symbolizing is the pillar of fire. It's the presence. It's not just the Lord, but it's the presence of the Lord that came down amongst the people and was moving with the people to, you know, Seir is where Esau was settled. And then it travels further on into the land, and it's symbolizing the pillar of fire going before the people and being with the people. And the blessings are what God chose for the people versus what they may have thought that they deserved. And sometimes, you know, people have a higher opinion of themselves than and think that they deserve more than what they deserve. But God is just and fair and righteous. So we see that God many times in the Old Testament, he came in various forms at various times in visitation, either with his prophet or with the people. And each change of form brought with it a greater expression of his being than the people had seen otherwise. Visible manifestations, you know, these were not the most prevalent forms of God's visitation. It wasn't always visible, but visible manifestations were intended as a sign to the people to take special notice. And, you know, we don't belittle by any stretch of the imagination any time that he made himself known, any way that he made himself known, but some visitations are accompanied by a visible supernatural in order to let the people know that something great is going to be revealed. God's going to reveal something great concerning himself. So the breaking of the sun in this symbol is the Holy Spirit coming, Jehovah of the Old Testament coming, and bringing with him the law, his presence coming, and bringing with him the law. And it symbolizes that the law symbolized light coming to the people as the sun, because we know God is light. Verse 3, yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. So first of all, we see, first and foremost, God loved them. And God took them, as it were, into his very own bosom. And covered them, you know, as an eagle covers the little eaglets. And covers her clutch. And he spoke things to them that he didn't speak to any other people on the face of the earth. And these other people wouldn't hear from him as this chosen people did. These people were shown special favor. The supernatural presence of God was with them. Oh, my, my, my. That in itself, it's greater than any physical blessing. If I had a choice here this evening, you have a choice. I'll either be with you, or I'll give you some kind of a temporal blessing. Well, you don't even have to think about that. I want his presence. That's the greatest blessing that you could imagine. Because his presence meant that they were watched over. Because where he is, his guards are. There's a host of angelic beings. And where his presence is, that meant that they were cared for. That meant that, you know, in their case, even their clothes didn't wear out. 40 years. Can you imagine not having to go to the store, brothers? Now, the sisters would think this is a hardship, but, oh, I got to wear this old thing. Well, don't look too old to me. The brothers are like, cool. I don't have to go shopping. Even their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. And they kept their strength on a very limited diet. On a diet that there's no way it could have had all the vitamins and minerals and everything that you need to guard against scurvy and this and that. There's no way that it was a very limited diet. There's no way that in the natural that, you know, plus where were the essential oils? Caleb's eyesight didn't dim. The angel food had all of the essential vitamins and minerals and all of the essential oils, evidently. And here you and I, we're living in a time of plenty. The world has never produced as much as it's producing right now. We're actually paying farmers not to plant. Because too much means the price is going to go down and nobody makes any money. Yet our diets can be deficient in the things that are necessary for good health. And now you got to invest in these very expensive supplements to you know, try to survive. But thank the Lord tonight, friends, that we're eating from something that's greater than the angel food that they ate in the natural, because we're eating or we're feeding upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. And it has in it everything that we need for our journey as we travel through the wilderness of Laodicea. It keeps us from being overcome. It keeps us in health. It keeps us in strength. It keeps our eyesight, spiritually speaking, sharp. Hallelujah. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy word. So this is kind of a dual, as you know, this song of Moses. There's many things that were fulfilled in the lives of Israel. And then we see them fulfilled again later in the New Testament church. So this represents, of course, Sinai and the children of Israel being at the bottom of the mountain, the Lord coming at the top of the mountain. So they're sitting at his feet and he's bringing the law through his prophet down to the people. But it also represents later on the Lord physically coming, descending, becoming flesh, and his children sitting at his feet and hearing his word. We'll look at that here for a moment. Luke chapter 8, verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. This is a guy they were scared of. This is a guy that, you know, I'm growing up, I was always afraid of somebody that had lost their marbles. Somebody that was a court low, whatever way that you use to describe it. I wasn't scared of the great big Hercules kind of a guy. I didn't want to mess with him. I didn't try and start anything, but I wasn't petrified of some big muscle bound weightlifter or sports figure or whatever. But the guy that, I don't care if he weighed 98 pounds. The guy that wasn't all there, you don't know what he was going to do. Because he doesn't know what he's going to do. Somebody that's lost their mind is dangerous. And they were facing a guy that had lost, I mean, they had been no doubt abused. There were certain places that the children couldn't play, that the adults wouldn't go to. There's a supernatural strength that comes from a demonic anointing, which, you know, if you think about it, if a demonic anointing produces a supernatural strength, how about the Holy Spirit? So they sat at the, or let's continue reading this. They came to Jesus, they found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. The only way you're ever going to be in your right mind is to sit at his feet. Is to sit at the feet of the revealed word. The person of the word. And they were afraid. Well, of course they were afraid, because they're thinking, all right, this guy looks like everything's okay, but what if he just snaps, you know? So they sat at the very feet of the very same God that was on Mount Sinai with Moses. And he instructs them by the word how to treat one another. What a novel concept. We take this for granted. And we shouldn't. But it's hard for us not to. Here's a man that was demon-filled, just like so many in our day. People are losing their minds. There are people on the road, don't mess with them. Somebody cut you off, let them cut you off. Don't say, if somebody's tailgating you, don't hit your brakes. That might be the last time you do it. You don't know what's going through people's minds. And this man is now in his right mind. And this is what happens to you and I when we meet Jesus. We get in our right mind when we sit at his feet. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now this is really rather remarkable. This is Martha, of course. And recall that Martha was so troubled about so many of the domestic things in life. And as it is with so many living worry warts that live those kind of lives, they don't just worry about themselves, but they got to worry about everybody else. They got to make sure that you shut the door and you don't let the dog out and you unplug the dishwasher before you leave the house. And actually, they are under bondage to these things that they feel so obligated to serve. And they resent it when others seem so carefree about it, seemingly. And they complain, it's getting real quiet. And they complain that these others aren't taking care of business as they are. Instead, these other ones are listening to tapes and they're reading their Bibles and they're praying and they're found sitting at the feet of Jesus when they could be mopping and dusting and doing the dishes and on, cleaning up the backyard. But instead, they're taking care of businesses, figuring out whatever else they ought to be doing, while these other ones are taking it easy, sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha actually resented the fact that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Friends, I don't write this stuff. I'm preaching, okay? The elect of God will work. And we'll get into it in a moment. They'll do their best. They will take care of what needs to be taken care of. But they won't be consumed by these things. And they won't stay up all night worrying about these things. Because first of all, their footsteps are ordered. Second of all, they know God is in control. Third of all, they know that good enough is good enough. All you can do is what you can do. Jesus himself, knowing that this would be a problem amongst his own people, he said, look, which one of you by worrying, which one of you by thinking, which one of you by straining can add a cubit to your height or a couple of hairs to your head? Even Rogaine won't do that. If it's going, it's going. So the children of God are called to redeem the time. And they know that the times are fast. The times that we're living in are very fast. And the things that are the demands that are put on us are very numerous. But we have to prioritize and we have to find time to sit at the feet of Jesus. You say, I don't have the time. No, you have the time. You don't take the time. There's a difference. You do have the time, but you're the one that decides what you do with your time. Deuteronomy 33:4. Moses commanded us a law. Even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. Now, notice, it's kind of strange how Moses puts this, because Moses is speaking as if he's one of them. Well, he is. He is one of them. He is also a partaker of the inheritance, which is the law. Now, we take the law for granted, you know, and the law actually gets a bad rap, just like Pentecost gets a bad rap. Pentecost in our day, the restoration of the gifts. We see what the organized religion did with it. We see the bad things that happened, the impersonations, the wildfire, all these different things. And then we move on into the opening of the Word, the person of the Lord Jesus coming in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden we want to put away everything that had anything to do with what we call Pentecost as if it was a bad thing. If we're not careful, people will do the same thing with the law. We're not above the law here tonight, friends. We look at the law and say, well, something better has come. Something greater has come. Yes, but the law has its part. And it's a wonderful thing. He calls the law the inheritance. Now, you're not going to inherit something from God that's no good. It's their protection. Think about it. The reason why we might take it for granted is because we're still living under the law, whether we realize it or not. We're in a nation that's based on laws. We're living in an age where nations are built and constructed and held together by laws. Of course, in our nation, we're trying to get rid of the laws, or not we are, but there are people that are trying to do that. And, you know, good luck with that. They don't realize that it's their protection. The law is protection. The law for Israel was their peace. The law for Israel established order in their lives and in the lives of their nation as a whole. It set up a system of how you're supposed to treat one another, and everybody agreed that this is good and that is bad, and here's the punishment for this. Amen? And it wasn't based on man's thinking, but God himself came and gave them the law. What a blessed inheritance. And the law is wise. And the law is just. And the law is prudent. And the law is effective. It is a deterrent from evil. And keeping the law holds back the forces of hell. It was not bondage, but it was an inheritance. Can you say amen? And yet today, it's considered as bondage by the world. Oh, get your laws off of me. You know, the Democratic Party is speaking tonight. There's 10 of them speaking tonight, 10 of them speaking tomorrow night. And one of the things that they're pushing right now is open borders. And, you know, that anybody ought to be able to come through. Really? Al-Qaeda ought to be able to come through? And I mean, look at the implications of these things. Anybody ought to be able to take a human life? There was a little baby last night in Georgia. Somebody, a family had come home and they heard something. It sounded like a baby crying. And so they called 911 and sheriffs came out and they found a baby that had been put in a plastic bag and was just born. It was about an hour old. There's a little video of it. And the law enforcement officers who are taking a bad rap, you know, the guys that are upholding the law, they're the bad guys now. And they open you see it, they open up the bag and here's this little baby. Little baby girl. This little life. And every one of them is talking about how precious this little baby is. And cooing to it and trying to tell her everything's going to be okay. They get the baby to the hospital and news starts spreading about it. And in one day, 1,000 people had called up and said, we want to adopt that baby. And yet, we've got politicians that are saying it's a woman's right to decide whether that baby lives or not. The law is our protection. The law is a blessing. It's something that you can count on. It's something that's sure. It's something that's solid. It's something that's fair, that's right, that's reasonable. And God was giving his people the law. But today, people want to be free from the law. But they have no idea what the law is doing for them. Oh, they'll find out. Verse 5. And he was king in Jeshurun, which is upright one, a symbolic name for Israel, describing her ideal character. So he's describing himself, the Lord himself is Jeshurun. When the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together, so the Lord was the king of Israel for a season. And it was foreshadowing him coming later as a physical king. Verse 6. Now he's starting to pronounce the blessing and he's going to go tribe by tribe by tribe. Let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. Okay. And? What else? Let them live. Don't let that tribe be wiped out. Let them live. That's it? Let them just be get along Christians. Let them just sustain. Jacob blessed his sons already. Many years prior. But this isn't speaking to the sons only, but to the tribes that resulted from these sons. And now, here is a blessing to the firstborn, Reuben. Let him live. Let not his men be few. That's it. Now, contrast that with the blessing of Jacob. Here's what Jacob said. Genesis 49, verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. So this is speaking first of his position as firstborn. Now it's going to speak about the man. Verse 4. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledest thou it. He went up to my couch. Now, a carnal mind would read that and think, well, this is just the dad trying to get even with his son because his son laid with his wife. But what we want to notice here is that Reuben did these things, and God's not hiding his mistakes. Reuben went to his father's favorite concubine, wife, Bilhah, and had his way with her. And his behavior affected his blessings. Thou shalt not excel. Which meant that he would have excelled had this not have taken place. Are you listening? Didn't say thou art cast out of the kingdom. Didn't say you're not one of my, you're no longer one of the, you're not saved. Didn't say that. Has nothing to do with that. His behavior affected his blessings, though he was still an elect son of God. Now, friends, this is real important, and I just want to spend a little bit of time on this tonight for a few minutes, because in all of our excitement over predestination and election, which we absolutely believe and absolutely preach and absolutely know that it's the mind of God and amazing grace and how there's a part of you that never did it to begin with. But we're not saying that that all of you never did it. There's a part of you that is guilty. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to repent. There's a part of you that was born in sin. So this speaks here of the man, and his mistakes, of course, are not being hidden. Reuben went to his father's favorite wife, and can you imagine that? You don't even want to. I mean, what was he thinking? His behavior affects his blessings, though he was still an elect son of God. Let Reuben live and not die. And let not his men be few. In other words, let this tribe continue. Don't let it be wiped out. But it's not going to excel. You're not going to hear much about this tribe. It's not going to be the tribe that the move of God is going to progress through. Now, this tribe once had a zeal for the cause of the nation of Israel. This tribe once fought with Israel in thick and thin. But then they settled, as we looked at before, they settled for an inheritance on the other side of Jordan. And at a time when the rest of Israel was coming under attack, they called on the tribe of Reuben. They cried out for help and said, look, we're having some special meetings and there's a lot of demons that are here that we want cast out. We want to see deliverance amongst the people. Can you come? Can you come support the meetings? Can you come to Jerusalem? Can you come and help us fight the enemy that's trying to wipe us out? And Reuben thought about it for a moment and said, well, we've been raising this cattle and it's turned out to be a bigger deal than we thought. You know, these cattle are multiplying and I've got a big operation. I don't have time. We'll come help you when we retire. We'll come help you when it's convenient. Come on, friends. That's what people do today. It's the same kind of carnal thinking. I don't have time for that. I've got all these other things to do and I can't help you. I can't support you. So no help came. This tribe never had a prophet. This tribe never had a national hero that rose up amongst them. This tribe never had a judge that could rise up above all of this and restore the name of Reuben amongst the tribes. Notice, the inheritance is based on choices. Your inheritance is not predestinated by God. God's desire is for all of us to be blessed. God's desire is for Him to be our King and for us to be His people. God's desire is for us to all prosper in health, even as our soul, His desire is for our souls to prosper. But what we, our inheritance, it's based on choices. And no doubt this tribe probably blamed it on the other tribes. Well, how come I never get used? How come I never get invited anywhere? How come I? Why do they get blessed? Why does so-and-so get this? And why does so-and-so get that? You know, God hates sin. And the sin of fornication is something that He brings up over and over and over. And there's consequences to it. Physical, spiritual, otherwise. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 reads like this. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Wow. Think about that. Let's summarize that for a moment. The Lord Jesus was supposed to come through His lineage. But because of the choice He made, God said, okay, it won't come through your lineage. There's no way that God's going to bring it out of your lineage. And it's not even going to come through your sons. I'm going to start with your grandsons. So the birthright was given to the grandsons. Now, Reuben still retained his position, just as any man today that will retain a gift in their life, if there's a gift in your life, man or woman. But this man took advantage of a woman, perhaps thinking that he could get by with it because he was the firstborn. I don't know what he was thinking, but obviously he was lifted up and he was full of himself and overcome in the moment. And men with problems like this will take advantage of churches, which are a type of a woman. They'll defile the church with the seeds of man. They'll defile the church with their own ideas, their own thinking, their own doctrine, their own dogma, instead of presenting them to Christ and allowing Christ to plant His word in them. So the birthright is taken from the firstborn, skipped the sons, and was given to his grandsons. Reuben's going to be there on the other side. Don't you worry. He'll be there. But his inheritance won't be what it would have been in this life or the life to come. The genealogy of Jesus is not going to come through his lineage. But it was supposed to. Verse 2. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. But the birthright was Joseph's. Deuteronomy 33:6. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. So this is a blessing, because they could have been wiped out, you know, as the Native Americans were wiped out. So many of the tribes of the Native Americans don't even exist after just, you know, a short amount of time. So the Lord is saying, don't let their tribe be wiped out. Let them continue on. But they're not going to prosper. They're not going to be a standout. They're just going to kind of sustain and kind of move on. Verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, here, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. Now, this is the strangest thing, because Simeon is the next one in the birth order. Why are we talking about Judah? talked about Reuben. Next is Simeon. The tribe of Simeon was worse now than it was in the days of Jacob. Still elect, but sin always has consequences. Genesis 49, verse 7. Recall when we did a study on Jacob in this very same series. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce. Remember, this is Simeon and Levi. And their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. God's not going to do away with them. He's just going to take away their standard and divide them. You know, it's like taking a church and, you know, the pastor's off the scene and taking the church and dividing it 15 different directions. Remember when Simeon and Levi, they went to punish the men that defiled their sister Dinah? And they crossed over into the ways of the world. Actually, they were worse than the world in their blood lust and blood vengeance for Dinah. They deceived the men and told them, you know, they're going to unite together and everything's okay. And they talked them into getting circumcised to, like the rest of them. And then while these men were laid up and recovering from the circumcision, then they slaughtered them. They destroyed all of the people. I mean, it was ungodly wrath. It was worse than anything that these people had done. What these people had done was a bad thing, but this was an eye for an eye. And they lose, as a consequence, they lose their tribal identity over this. Now, we'll see that one of these tribes ultimately is redeemed, even though the curse couldn't be taken back. The curse still remained. The curse was spoken. It couldn't be taken away. But you know, we can plant a whole lot of bad seeds, and we're going to reap a harvest, right? But the thing is, start planting some good seeds. And when you plant good seeds, at some point or another, the harvest from the good seed is going to be much greater than the harvest from the bad seed. But there are consequences, right? And jailhouse conversion doesn't take away the consequences. So one of these tribes is going to rise up above it, even though the curse couldn't be taken back, and the other tribe is not going to. God took the curse and turned it into a blessing. You know, as with our Lord Jesus. Cursed is the man that hangs on a tree. God took that curse and turned it into a blessing for the rest of us. Joshua 19, verse 1. And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of Judah. You won't find Simeon's name listed outside. Simeon's offspring, that tribe, got absorbed within Judah. So you won't find Simeon by itself. And it's because of the correction that they brought, which was done out of wrath, that their name does not appear. We've got parallels of that in our day, where people set themselves up as, you know, correctors, you know, senior correctors or whatever, corrections officers. There's true corrections officers, and then there are those that appoint themselves. You know, when it comes to churches, God puts a pastor over a sheepfold, and there are sheep, and then the pastor is the shepherd. So really, if there's any correction that comes, it's under the administration of that shepherd. God gives the church and the shepherd, he gives them deacons and different ones, but the deacons are not They're not allowed to bring correction as they think. They're supposed to enforce the rules and, you know, bring things forward when things need a resolution, but they're not their sheep. That's the point. You don't have your own ministry under the pastor that's separate from the ministry that God has given to the pastor. Other ministers that come through, it's not their job to rake the church over the coals either. And there are churches that, you know, make it their role in life to correct everybody else. Where, you know, you wonder if anybody's going to make it in the church. I wonder if their inheritance might fall into this same category. God hates this. God hated that so much, this overreaction, this correction out of wrath rather than correction out of love. This way, way, way exaggerated bloodlust causes them to be scattered amongst Israel. And yet Simeon will be there. Now, on the other hand, the tribe of Levi, they had men in their tribe that were able to raise this tribe up from its obscurity, right? They were to be scattered. That was the curse because of what had taken place. And they were scattered. This curse couldn't be taken back. But men like Aaron and Moses and others, they raised this name up out of obscurity. God formed a priesthood from this scattered tribe. Remember, they didn't have a possession of their own. But yet God ended up blessing them because of men that were raised up and the results of their choices and of their actions. He turned that tribe into a blessing. So there's your lesson there. You know, we don't want to ever get to the point where we're always looking back saying, well, I did this and I did that and I did this. And so, you know, now there's no hope and, you know, I'm going to be like Reuben. Well, just kind of get along. Well, no, Reuben had no desire to rise up above it. You can rise up above it and you can turn something into a blessing. And this is the blessing of Judah. He said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. So this is the fourth son in the lineage, and now he's being spoken of like he's the second son. And later on we'll find out he gets the position of the first son. He's given the position that Reuben should have had. It's the praise tribe. The tribe of Judah. And we know that the praise tribe always went out in front of the others. As the children of Israel moved forward, the praise tribe was right up front. Genesis 49 verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now we know that the name Judah means praise. And the tribe of Judah brought forth praise. The tribe of Judah went forth praising the Lord. And the enemies heard it. And here the blessing is even your brothers shall praise you. They went forth and praised. And it wasn't just praise. It wasn't just, you know, ain't God good? Don't tell anybody, but I'm so glad I'm one of them, but don't tell anybody. They went forth boldly in their praise. Oh, friends, I think we take for granted the power of praise. The praise has a tremendous power, and praise is ordained to go forth and to go first. And praise actually strikes fear in the heart of the enemies. Oh, friends, evil spirits, they hate praise. They hate hearing, oh, how I love Jesus. They hate hearing, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. They hate hearing, I'm so glad that I'm one of them. They hate hearing about their end and your no end. And it comes forth boldly. Not just coming forth, but it comes forth boldly. So this particular tribe was, they had to fight more than all the other tribes. We see it in the natural, but there's a spiritual type there as well. Verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. You know, starts out as a little cub. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Starts out as a cub. But then, that little cub grows up. And that little cub is a lion when it's a cub. And it grows up to manifest that it's a lion. Our praise is based on revelation. And true revelation is not wimpy. True revelation, there's no fear in true revelation. True revelation isn't, I hope so and maybe, and I got my fingers crossed, and I'm going to try this and that in case this doesn't work. True revelation is bold. So when we sing praise, which is true revelation, it's bold. You're actually, every one of us is preaching. We're preaching the word. The word is going forth. Our revelation is being expressed when we pray, when we praise. Amen. And our praise is based on our revelation. That's why we should, you know, that's why I'm not going to tell people not to do it, but that's why, you know, I'm not going to sing about, you know, marching to the Crusades. I'm not going to sing Crusader songs from the Dark Ages because that's not my revelation. I'm not a Crusader that's got my head down and is dying in an ox age. Let's just, you know, pour forth my blood. I'm an eagle. I'm going to sing songs about soaring. I'm going to sing songs about seeing things that others haven't seen. I'm going to sing songs about a rapture. I'm going to sing songs about singing a new song. Because that's revelation. That's present tense word, and there's life in revelation. It's living word. And friends, the gates of hell cannot stand against revelation. The revealing of the word, there's nothing that, it's a lion, it's bold, nothing's going to back it up. Nothing at all. The word is a lion. And the word, I know that he's a lamb, but the word is still a lion. The word is still roaring forth. The word is still challenging the devil and telling him, look, I'm not asking you to leave, I'm telling you. In the name of the Lord, let go of my sister, let go of my brother. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The word of God never backs up. Not one time. It fears nothing. It is fearless. It conquers. It is king. And when it is roused, it takes every doubting devil under its control. Friends, there are times when just worshiping, when it's real revelation, when it's spiritual revelation in due season at the right time, there are times when anything could happen, and you wonder, do we even need the preaching of the word? Because there's such an atmosphere, such a charged atmosphere, because it's amen and amen, and it's going forward and going forward, and demons are being cast out. But what it's doing is it's bringing the atmosphere to a place where the king can then step in and say, you want some more? You want something else to shout about? You want something else to give praise over? Someone's, I felt Sunday night like anything could happen. But we kind of got a little soft and we kind of, it's just human nature. We kind of, you know, get out of the routine, whatever, if you want to call it that. And then it never fails. I hear from somebody, you know, I almost ran around. I thought about getting out of my seat. And my response is, don't stop it next time. Don't wait for me to do it. I'm bringing the word. I'm the one the Lord is using. You're the one that's supposed to respond. That's not to say that I won't be dancing with you at some point when the preaching's over. But for me to stand up here and speak in tongues, what good does that do? I'm already prophesying. Amen. It's already the word speaking. in a known tongue. Hallelujah. Oh, friends. That's why we stand. That's why we'll pay a price for Judah. We'll stand like Judah stood, because you take Judah out, you don't have Israel any longer. Judah went first. And Judah was, they were the fighters. They were the ones that went forth. They were bold. We've got to have praise. Now, we're not going to have praise take the place of the going forth of the word. But praise is part of it. Praise afterwards says, take that devil and take that devil and take that devil. I'm on to you. I just heard the word and I don't have to put up with you anymore. Take that devil. Take that devil. No wonder the devil fights that so much. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath his, between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. And his eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Now this bypassed Simeon and Reuben, because they disqualified themselves from this. Are you listening? The inheritance is divided based on choices and behavior. Being in Christ has nothing to do with this. If you are in Christ, you will remain in Christ. If you are in Christ, no devil from hell can take that from you. But being in Christ does not take away our free moral agency. If it did, then there would never be a need to say, I'm sorry. There would never be a need to say, please forgive me, ever again. It's our free will that causes us to make mistakes. It's us giving into our own will instead of the will of the Lord. Character is something that's being formed. God doesn't just birth you into the kingdom and then take you off the scene. No, He births you into the kingdom, and then He takes you on a journey so that character is formed. And positions have been appointed in the kingdom that is to come. And those that are born into the kingdom on this side of glory, their inheritance is determined by their actions and their choices in this life. We won't all get the same inheritance. How many knows that's true? You say, well, that isn't true. What's it based on? What you do with what God has given you. God gives us things in this life. Nothing that we have is our own. It's all been given to us. He gives us gifts. He decides what temperament that will go with your purpose in life. He gives us abilities. He gives us blessings. He gives us the raw materials, in other words. And God truly wants to bless all of us. He wants to brag on every one of us equally. He wants to show favor on all of us. But it's up to us what we inherit. You listen. Our rewards depend on what we do with what has been given to us. God will even give more gifts and more abilities and more favor in this life as we prove to be faithful with what He's already given to us. But if we aren't, He'll take away from us even that which we had sometimes. Now, what a contrast between Reuben and Judah. You still listening? Both are the elect of God. Both are called. Both are chosen of God. Both are descended from Abraham. Both of them are children of the promise. Both were formed. Both were called to be what they were called to be. Simeon was called. He was chosen of God. But we find that the church of Simeon was divided and scattered among the other churches. So our desire, friends, is to be faithful in our calling. It's to be faithful in our position. Now I'm talking to everybody here, with old, young, just starting out, finishing up. To be faithful. To keep our inheritance by being what we've been called to be. Not to be something, even if something else seems to be greater in our own thinking. And we don't want to focus on degrees of gifts and degrees of callings and compare ourselves amongst ourselves and with ourselves. And we realize we don't have a choice in what we've been called and gifted to do. But we also realize that the greatest blessing in this life is when you walk in what you've been called and gifted to do. But we do have a choice in whether or not we fully walk in our callings of God. It has nothing to do with our salvation. It doesn't matter if anybody else is looking or not. Doesn't matter if anybody else sees what you're doing or not. The all-seeing eye, the Lord Himself, He watches over all of us. And He sees what we are all doing. And He rewards according to what we do. So this is a balance that we need to keep when we talk about predestination and the election of God. There's grace for our mistakes, and I'm so thankful for it. There's grace for our failures. And I'm so thankful for that. But grace was never intended, as Paul said, to be a cloak, to cover other agendas that we might have. Grace was not intended for something to allow us to hide behind while we live for ourselves instead of living for the Lord or living our life for others. So our attitude towards the post of duty that we've been called to is important. Look, friends, you may think you're networked with different ones, and you may think that you get in alliances with different ones, and you're going to show this one this and show that one that, and God's watching over you. This isn't about you and some alliance or you and this friendship or that friendship or whatever. This is about you. And in the end, you're going to give an answer for what you do. Now, if you want some little bitty embarrassing little inheritance on the other side, it can be yours. Just drag your feet and fight the church, and it'll be waiting for you. God will say, okay, let them live, but that's it. You see, when you think you get into alliances, and when you think that you're fighting against something, you're just doing the devil's work. You're fighting against God is what you're doing. Well, what if the guy is wrong? Well, let's just stay on that for a moment, okay? What if your dad was wrong? Does that mean it's okay to smart mouth your dad? If you could have this is what gets me. People say, well, you know, I wasn't raised in the perfect home. What is the perfect home? Have you found one? I guarantee you it wasn't Leave It to Beaver. It wasn't Beaver Cleaver and his brother. His brother died of a drug overdose. Right? And mom doesn't do dishes with pearls on her neck. And dad doesn't, you know, just Mr. Calm reading the newspaper and words of wisdom as he smokes his pipe. There is no perfect family. So you can't use that as that's the thing. God's watching you. Everything, you know, so I'm going to help somebody here tonight. If you're not happy about how you're being used, it's because you're doing something wrong. Because God called you. God has a position for you. God has a place for you. And whether you walk in it or not is based on you. There's no human being that's bigger than God. There's no, well, I would have been a preacher. Brother, I would have been the best preacher on the planet if people hadn't gotten my way. Yeah, I'd be the pastor of Arizona if people hadn't stopped me. Or as I've heard other times, well, Brother Baker's keeping me from preaching. Wow, thank you for having that much respect for me. I am so big that I can actually keep a gift from God from coming to manifest. I'm not bigger than God. I'm not even close. I'm not even in the picture. I can't hold you back from nothing. You're going to give an account for what you do. So let's say you're raised in this imperfect home. What are you supposed to do? Honor your father, honor your mother. Don't talk back. Don't roll your eyes when dad's doing whatever he's doing or mom's doing whatever she's doing. Well, you know, they're kind of messed up, and so that's why I do it. Well, you're messed up too. You ever heard the saying, two wrongs don't make a right? God's watching you. Well, I wanted to start out as a president. Well, too bad. Here's your mop. What am I supposed to do with that? Show that you're faithful. Clean the floors. How clean? So that I can eat off of them? Well, I'm not a janitor. You are now. I want to be the president. Here. This is the road to presidency. Here's your mop. Think about Joseph. What if he'd have had that attitude? Joseph is a perfect example of somebody who used what God gave him, and nobody could take it from him. Joseph starts out in a hole in the ground. None of us has been thrown into a hole in the ground, sold off into slavery. So I trust that he started a little deeper than you and I. But then he progressed into a prison. And he's in there with liars and cheats and this and that and the other. So he's got every right to start cussing and acting like everybody else and, you know, putting a tattoo so he could kind of fit in and wearing the colors. He's got every right to do that, right? But what does he do? He uses what God gave him in the setting that God placed him in. I hope you heard what I just said, that God placed him in, because your footsteps are ordered of the Lord. Doesn't mean it'll be your favorite place, but it's where you're supposed to be. And he does so well that he gets promoted and he gets lifted up until he's the guy that every knee bows at the sounding of his name and the sounding of the trumpet. This wasn't just favor being showered over Joseph. This is Joseph coming into his position based on doing what he's supposed to do. What am I trying to tell you? Do your best in school. Well, I don't like this or that. Do your best. I don't like cabbage heads, Brussels sprouts. She knows that. Two nights ago, she fed it to me. Now, granted, it wasn't as disgusting as it used to be. But I ate it, and then the next night I said, did you give me Brussels sprouts last night? She says, yeah, and you ate it. It ain't always what you want. Right? You're at work, and you got a bonehead boss. You know more than he does. So that gives you the right to talk back to him. That gives you a right to do a crummy job. That gives you a right to, well, he's in charge, but you're gonna show your authority. I hope you're listening. You're gonna rebel. I don't understand this thinking. I guess I was raised a little different, obviously. But I don't understand that kind of thinking, because people think it's okay. And then you think God's gonna bless you? Not a chance. There are consequences. You want God to bless you? Serve God. Amen. Serve God how? In what he called you to be. Well, I don't have very much. Well, use what you've got and you might be surprised. Amen. Brother Branham wasn't looking for a second pole in his ministry. But he was faithful in the first pole. And a second pole came. He wasn't looking for a third pole. But he was faithful in the second pole. And a third pole came. Who knows what God has in your future? Maybe God will take something that he would have given somebody else and give it to you in this life. and the life to come. F.F. Bosworth, he was older than me. And I'm feeling old. 59. He was older than me when his ministry really took off. More was done in the last part of his life than in all the years that he was on the planet. Here he is, God's prophet is looking at him as his father. A father figure. And he needed to have that place in Brother Branham's life. Real man of faith. Really believed in healing. Many testimonies. Witnesses to it. Bulldog faith. Why? Because he was faithful in what God gave him. All of us, friends. There's not one of us here tonight that isn't called to do something. You're not here to breathe air and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out so that we need more fresh air. There's more to it than that. You got a purpose. You got a place. And what you do determines your inheritance. In this life and the life to come. Our attitude at our post of duty is important. Well, I'm not going to tell people when I'm not coming to church because I don't have to. God sees your little smart aleck attitude. You don't get away with that at work. In fact, you don't get away with it at home. You don't get away with it anywhere but church. You're not doing it to me. But you're actually hurting yourself. Do you think God's going to bless that? I don't care how many people that you can get to side with your baby ideas. That's just exactly what it is. It's childishness. You want adult blessings? Grow up. I don't agree with everything in the church. Join the club. I don't either. What we do with what has been given to us in this life is important. God knows when we are faithful. Whether or not anybody else does, it doesn't matter. He's the rewarder. Our report cards are being written right now. And our inheritance is being determined right now. Now think about it. You've got eternity to look forward to. What do you want on the other side? You want to just kind of a get along something on the other side? Well, then just get along here then. Don't get me wrong. The work of the Lord will be accomplished. But it might entail God taking it from one and giving it to another. You hear Brother Branham praying in the prayer lines. And he says to this man, you got a gift in your life. Gifts and callings without repentance. Whether you serve God or not, you'll never lose that gift. The gift is there. He said, you've got a gift. You were called to preach, but you put it off. And now he's, you know, was in some kind of an obscure situation or whatever. I don't know that it ever turned around. But nothing ever was accomplished there. Look, I'm not trying to bring anybody down, but this is serious stuff. This is not elementary school. This is not humanity. This is you serving God. And God's watching over everything that you do. Well, I'd be a good wife, but I don't have a good husband. I'd be a good husband, but that wife, the woman you gave me. Yeah, man tried that once with Brother Branham. Said, she won't obey me. Should I put her away? Should I divorce her? Well, you hear Brother Branham in other places saying that a man has a right to put his wife away if she is disobedient. Right? So he looks at him. He says, what should I do? She won't obey me. She's just so this, that, and the other. You know, and I'm going to play He-Man and Tarzan, and I'm the boss. What should I do? Buy her some flowers and get her some chocolate? Really? I'm supposed to reward that behavior? Actually, she's just reflecting something that's in you. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. I want everybody to be blessed. Everybody. I want you to be all, we sing it over and over and over, but let it become a revelation. I want to be what He called me to be. I'll say yes. Which means swallowing your pride. They say if you want something done, give it to the guy that's busy. Because the guy that's busy is getting things done. Right? You say, but Brother Doug, that doesn't make any sense. He or she is too busy. Let's give it to the guy that's sitting around and has all kinds of time. There's a reason why people are sitting around. Because they're not doing anything. It's not that they don't have anything to do. They're not doing anything. And the ones that are busy are getting things done. Give it to the one that's busy. It's just one more thing for them to get done. But I want to be great. I want to be important. I want to be looked up to by others. Well, what are you doing with what you have been given? But I haven't been given very much. That's not the question. What are we doing with what we've been given? Now, it's a little bit of a paradox because we aren't serving God with reward as our motive. Whether or not there's a reward on the other side, I want to serve Him. We serve Him out of love. We serve Him out of a desire to please Him. We serve Him out of a desire to help His work. And we serve Him out of a desire to be used by Him. So for one person, it might be yielding to the leading to, you know, the Lord puts somebody on your heart and that person's hurting, and the Lord puts on your heart to send that person a note of encouragement or do something for that other person when they come upon your heart. That's a wonderful thing. It's needful for all of us. It's our responsibility to seek Him early in prayer. It's our responsibility to stay in the Spirit. It's our responsibility to stay in the Word. It's our responsibility to maintain the virtues of Christ that He's blessed us with, that we've been entrusted with. You never have to beat down a door to be used by God. Some will say, well, you know, I've got this burning desire. And I just can't stop myself from forcing a door open. I can't help it. God can't use a person like that. What kind of a God would it be tonight that we serve if He can't keep track of the gifts that He sent to the earth? And He can't open the doors that you're called to walk through? Who cares if the other guy gets a big raise or a promotion and you don't? There was a time when that bothered me. Because I knew what I was doing and I knew what other people weren't doing. And there are certain people that politic. You know what I'm talking about? They bring donuts and coffee to the boss and, you know, just shine the apples and whatever. And they seem to get, you know, and you think, boss, you're deceived. I heard them talking about you at the coffee maker or whatever. Don't worry about it. What goes around comes around. God watches over His own. What happens to somebody else has nothing to do with you. Oh, friends, somebody might need that tonight. Don't let your heart be troubled in those things. What happens to another person is not taking anything away from you. And if God has to cause a company to be started up in Tucson just so you'll have a job, He'll do that. Wherever you are, God has led you to be there. Listen to me closely. I will pull over. Wherever you are, God has led you to be there. And God is looking for you to surrender your will to Him so that you can fulfill your purpose that He's called you to. And God is watching you to see how you handle yourself in the situations that you're placed in. And what happens next depends on the choices that we make. It does not affect our salvation. It affects our inheritance. We've been given more in this age than any other age. And all of us are going to be rewarded based on what we do with what we've been given. Maybe God has blessed you with lots and lots of resources. And you use those resources to make yourself comfortable. There's no sin in that. But is that why God blessed you? Did He give you all that so that you could make yourself more comfortable? Or did He give that to you so that you would have a means to help His work? Only you can answer that. We will all be rewarded based on what we do with what has been given to us. You say, but I've worked so hard for this. I have a right to. Yeah, where'd you get the ability to work so hard for that? Where did the doors open? There's rewards in this life and the life to come. Friends, I'm challenged by this. You know, when the Lord puts these things on my heart for the body, that doesn't mean, you know, I'm standing up here and I got it all under control and we're just doling out. I'm challenged. I want to bring it up a notch. I want to redeem the time. I want to make sure that I'm being led in whatever I do. And I want to look past whatever human consequences that might come in my mind. Just as Brother Branham had to learn to do that. Well, Hope's mother is going to take Hope away from me if I go out on the field. That's what she said. She said, I'm not going to allow you to drag my daughter around amongst that Pentecostal trash. That's what she said. And he said, okay, well, I don't want that to happen. He ended up losing his wife and his daughter. I trust that, you know, none of us face something like that. But are you with me tonight? We're all in this together. This isn't you against me, me against you, you against that one, this one against that one, this group against that group. This is you standing alone. Nobody but you. And God has called you to do something. And you're going to give an account. Oh, friends, we can go 50 million different directions with that. How about the talents that were given out? You know, one guy said, well, I don't want anything to happen with this, so I'm just going to go bury it in the ground, and then when the Lord comes back, I'll give Him back what He gave me. And the Lord looked at him and said, you worthless servant. And then there was another one that was given a lot, and he invested it and got 10 times that. There were some that were given less, and they got less out of it, but they did what they were supposed to do. So that's not the point. We're not all supposed to be Napoleons and conquer the world. We're not all supposed to just use what God has given you. There are some people that are just gifted at making people feel welcome. Don't go down to Walmart and be a greeter. Be a greeter here. This is what you're called to do. And you can do that part-time if you want, but this is your main calling. Well, you know it's true. That's why you're laughing. You know that some people just make you feel welcome. And that's who you want out front. Because you're going to come in sometime and you're going to want somebody to shake your hand or pat you on the back. And nobody's going to be there. And then the devil's going to jump on your shoulder and say, well, you know, that's because they don't care about you there. They do care. It's just that the greeter's out of their position. The greeter's late. Or the greeter's already in church praying. Feeling real religious about it instead of doing their ministry. Now, I'm not talking about, well, did you see this sale and whatever? I'm not talking about that. You know, there are some people that are called to manage things. There are some people that are called to share the word. There are some people that are called to sing. There are some that are gifted. Friends, let's just take that as, you know, before I run everybody off. Let's use that as an example. I don't care who you are. You can train anybody to play an instrument. But you either have a gift or you don't. And when people write songs, where does it come from? It's inspiration. I can't do that. I wouldn't even try to write a song unless I was inspired to do it. I wouldn't even try because I know it takes inspiration. So don't you try to preach because that takes inspiration too. Every song ain't going to be good and every sermon ain't going to be good either. Amen. But I'm going to have to answer for that, not you. Right? Now let me turn it around. You don't feel like playing. Okay, God gave you that gift. Okay, I don't feel like preaching. Whoever was supposed to clean the church didn't feel like cleaning it. The greeter didn't feel like greeting anybody. We can go on and on and on and on and on. See how much better it is when everybody just does what they're supposed to do? And they look to God knowing He's the rewarder. He's the one that knows. Maybe you're the best cleaner in town. Only God needs to know that. Maybe you clean it better than everybody else. Wonderful. Here's your sticker. Don't get mad at everybody else because they don't do what you do. Just do what you do. Do what God called you to do. We should have song specials every service. We got, you know, for the size of our church, we've got an abundance of talent. But evidently, everybody doesn't feel like it. Come on. You know it's true. We're not getting on you, except we're getting on you. It's not to beat you down, it's to encourage you. I just gave you examples in black and white. Here's what happened to tribes. Here's what happened to churches. Here's what happened to individuals. Here's what happened to other ones that weren't blessed, that ended up getting more blessed. Here's what happened to some that did wrong, were cursed, did right, and got blessed, and the blessing was greater than the curse. I will be what you called me to be. I'll say no. I mean, yes. That's just Brother Doug trying to get me to do anything. Get over yourself. If you can't take direction from somebody you can see, there's no way you're taking direction from somebody that you can't see. Your first God is your mom and dad. And you're supposed to obey them. And if you obey them, you'll live longer than people that don't. Right? That's what the Bible says. Didn't say anything about whether they were nice or you respected them or whatever. Right? We all are going to give an account. Let's stand tonight. I pray for you. And I have great aspirations for all of you. You are the most giving group that I've ever been associated with. You give more than churches three or four times our size. And a whole lot of the giving nobody knows about. And there's a lot that people do know about. And you're a loving group of people. And you're wanting to serve the Lord. And you want the truth. and you're wanting to go forward. Now be everything that he called you to be. Be the church that people brag about. Not brag about in that, you know, they walk on water. We're not talking about that. But we love to be with those people because they're so loving and they're so kind and they're so understanding and they're so Christ-like. Is there anything wrong with that? That's what we should aspire to. Not that they're the most revelated or they're the biggest or they have the nicest air conditioning. It's not. It's getting there. Help us all, Lord. How many would, let's bow our heads tonight. How many would want to be remembered in prayer? You just want to lift your hand and say, Lord, I want to just continue to step it up. I'm not saying that I'm being slothful. I'm not saying that I'm not serving you. But what I am saying is I want to serve you more. I want to be more faithful. I want to be more sensitive. I want to trust you more in recognizing that whatever situation I'm in, not to look at man, not to look at circumstances, not to get frustrated with people, not to let people become my focus, but realize that, Lord, nobody can stop me but me from what you've called me to do. Lord, I just want to be faithful. I just want to surrender more. Maybe there's some ways that I'm not aware of that I'm not surrendering, but Lord, bring it to my attention so that I can give that to you, Lord, and so that you can receive glory, so that you can, Lord, bring me to where you've called me to be for your purpose in this life. Grant it, O God. Father, you see hands all over the building. Father, I pray that you bless each and every one. Lord, we just continue to pray. We know that you were dealing with something here last Sunday, Lord, and we know that you're still dealing with different things. And Lord, it's something that you've dealt with me in my life, and there's a reason why you put a pastor through things sometimes before everybody else. And Lord, where I had formed complexes in my life, and because of that I was distrustful and discouraged and always taking things in a negative way and expecting negative results, and I insulated myself. And then, Lord, you showed me that I had made myself a complex. Everything that I was focusing on, nevertheless, things did happen to me and things were a certain way. But, Lord, the reality that I described as a result of it was not reality. And Lord, you showed that to me. By your grace, I was given a choice whether to lay it down or to nurture it. And by your grace, I laid it down. What a wonderful thing. Father, all of us have been hurt. All of us have been wounded. All of us have been manhandled. We've been womanhandled, whatever. We've been devil-handled. And Lord, all of us have experienced sorrow. And Lord, there's a tendency in those situations to try to protect ourselves. It's just a human thing, and insulate ourselves. But when we do that, Lord, it becomes a prison. And we actually cut ourselves off from you as we cut ourselves off from others. And Lord, then our lives are driven more by fear and doubt and distrust than by faith and believing and hope and peace. And Lord, I believe that we can have those things on this side, and that we should have those things. We should all be walking in those things. Father, we need to be reminded that if somebody tells us something, not to look at it and say, well, I doubt that, or I question your motive, or you've said something before. Lord, all we have is one another's word. And our word is really something that we should protect and guard. We're going to give an account for our words. But Lord, all we have is somebody's word. So Lord, give us the grace to take people at their word. Now, Lord, if it turns out that their word is no good, that's on them. And that's something that they'll have to bear, not us. And that's something they'll have to give an answer for. But Lord, we don't want to spend our lives disbelieving. We want to spend our lives believing. We want to be guilty of being naive. We want to be guilty of taking people at their word, just thinking good things and positive things. And Lord, we'd much rather err on that side. Our nation has become so jaded, so hardened. Lord, it's hard to get anyone to believe anything because nobody wants to be fooled. So much a deception, but at the same time, there's truth. At the same time, Lord, there's genuineness. And Lord, we want to look for that. We want to focus on that. And Lord, we want to just lay things down that we've built up to protect ourselves. And we ask, Lord, that you just bring healing into our hearts, healing into our lives, Lord, that we no longer look at somebody as a potential threat or somebody that might hurt us, but look at brothers and sisters. Lord, we're not just talking about the church, but we're talking about on the job or different things, Lord. Somebody that isn't saved, if they give us their word, we want to take them at their word. If it proves to be otherwise, that's on them. But Lord, we want to be free of the bondage that comes with distrust and nursing wounds and things like that. Lord, you're our healer. We want to walk upright. Amen. Father, if Joseph hadn't have had hope, I know that he wasn't down in that prison depressed and wanting to throw in the towel. Instead, Lord, he just was what he was supposed to be. And Lord, that's all we can be. That's good enough. We don't ever have to look back if we just do what we've been called to do. We don't have to wonder or worry if somebody does more than us or somebody does something different. We don't have to answer for what somebody else does. Lord, we'll answer for what we do. And we just want to do what you want us to do. I pray that your blessings be upon each and every one. Go with each and every one, Lord, as we go under our homes. Father, I'm just challenged myself personally here tonight, Lord, to be more sincere, to be, Lord, it's a hard thing when you are so blessed as we are as a nation. It's a hard thing to sometimes not take it a little bit for granted. But Lord, much has been given. We want to make sure that we put what has been given to us to its best use. Lord, our talents, our time, our prayers, ourselves, Lord. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing a Judah song here tonight. I will be what he wants me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. I will be what you've called me to be. I say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. Lord, that's what I'll be.